Jesus tells the story, that if you read in your Bible, he told the parable of the 10 virgins. Five were ready, five were not. And he tells the story of the 10, the talents. One man received five talents. If you know the story, he invested the five and he got five more. Another man received two talents and he gained the other two. It's in verse 18. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And most of the time, I've been in this passage before, most of the time I read a passage like this and say, well, number one, it's not fair because they all got different amounts. There's another passage where they all got 1 pound. But in this story, you know, we read it and say, well, why was he giving them preferential treatment like he was? It says that in verse 15 that he gave one five, another two, another one to every man according to his several ability. So the answer is right there, that God, the master gave the servants what he could trust them with, and he gave them according to their ability. And each of us want to be that one that got the most. You know, that's what we put our focus on, or at least I do, because I'm not right in the head. I put our focus on what the one that got more, instead of it was his servants and it was his goods. So if he wanted to give them all one talent, it's his prerogative. It's his stuff. He could have given them none, but he gave them each a different amount. And you read the passage and you say, well, of course I want to be the one that gets the highest return on the investment. And I hope that's true for all of us. We want to give God everything back to him that he's given to us. And we want that kind of walk with God. We want that kind of in our speech. Whether we always get there or not, we want that, we have that desire, okay? So, like, I always pick a song to sing where I like the song. And about halfway through the song, I realized that, and Brother Clyde has tried to help me with this, but about halfway through the song, I realized maybe this wasn't such a great idea because I know what's coming at the end of the song. and sometimes we live our life that way. We have that desire, but we don't always finish as strongly as we started. And I want that for our church, for my family. I want that the investment that God has put in me to give it back to the master and say, I did something with it. Because it wasn't mine. If it was up to me, I had nothing. The master gave it to me, and I used it and have something to return. And I believe we get there by knowing God. The Bible says in Philippians, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. The Apostle Paul reminds us that it's not on us that it comes from God, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He talks about chasing after something, about running a race. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Brother Dan asked me to motion to him whenever I wanted him to say amen. But I can already feel there's sweat on my face, so Brother Dan, I'm going to wipe the sweat off my face. Do not say amen about the sweat. All right, but you guys give me this complex before I even get up here. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Talks about running a race. Talks about giving back to God and reaching for something. It reminds us, you know, when you're looking for something, you seek until you find it. So as long as we're seeking for more grace to trust Jesus more, we will go farther in our life. If we ever get to the point where we think we've achieved it, we'll stop. Just like when a runner gets to the end of the race, he's given everything that he has. He is breathing and trying to get something to drink and replenish his energy, but he's finished the race, so he stops running. If we ever get to the point where we think we've finished the race, we'll stop. If we ever get to the point to where we think we've found it, we won't look for it anymore. Paul said, in order to know him, I have to forsake my own righteousness. I have to forsake my own prejudice, my own accomplishments. I have to put all of that behind me. Because if I don't, I will be satisfied with something less than what God has prepared for me. I'll be the guy that buried it in the ground. I won't see the value in it, so I won't do anything with it. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about the Hebrews 11, by faith Abel and Enoch, and down on through the list, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all these men and women that God greatly used because they realized that what they had was not their own, it was given to them by God. And if we want that type of faith, and I do, and I think we do as a church, it's even though we can't see it, we know that we have it. That's what faith is. And we sing in Awana sometimes. Before we get started, we'll sing a different song, and I've tried to get the kids to sing with me. Sometimes, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And get that thought in mind, that I don't need to know the way through the wilderness, because God is going to lead me. I don't need to commit it to memory. I don't need somebody to tell me the way, because I need to follow the Master. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Once we fall away from that, and once we start to trust in our own devices, our own righteousness, our own accomplishments, whatever that may be, and many times it's the past accomplishments that hurt us more than the past regret and the past sin, because we get bogged down in what's good enough, and we don't seek to honor God and to follow Him. But we want that love of God. We want the prize that we want to give back to Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." And again, I was thinking about this before it was mentioned tonight, but that process of having a kid, we get the 0 to 3 months, and they're all cute little, you know, Anna, we got these cute little dresses. Brother Clyde, they're all dresses, no pants, but we get all these little, he teases me about that all the time, but we get all these little cute little clothes, and 0 to 3, all right, well now she's past 3 months, so I got to put all these fancy little clothes, I got to put them away because they don't fit anymore. And then we get the 3 to 6 out, and same thing, you know, new dress today, your new shirt, whatever it may be, and you get the kid dressed, and it's exciting, and then they grow, and then the clothes don't fit, and you got to put them away. If I insisted on dressing my 8-year-old kid in his newborn clothes, he would not be happy, and neither would anybody that had to look at him. I had to let him grow up. I had to get bigger clothes to fit the bigger kid. And again, we focus on our own accomplishments, our own decisions, and we don't trust, and we keep that childlike understanding, and we don't put it away when it comes to the things of God. On earth or in heaven, if we're going to know God and see Him who is invisible, if we're going to know His love and not see through a glass darkly, if we're going to have that walk with God, we have to put away the childish things and see it from the perspective of, it's not mine, it's the Master's. It's not my choice who gets how many, it's the Master's goods, and I am the servant. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." There is a time and a place in a Christian life to accept things by faith. The Bible talks in Proverbs about the simple one. It's someone that, you know, has not made all the big decisions of life and can be directed. And when we come to Christ, we come to Him as a child. But God commands us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay that way. Brother Laura was here. I was the only guy here all day yesterday. I think it affected me psychologically. But I have to confess to you, don't say amen, Brother Dan. I had to confess to you that one of the things that was said really stuck with me. They were talking about that God loves us, and I've heard this before, but God loves us as we are. So He comes to us no matter how wicked or whatever the case may be. God loves us the way that we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. And God's the same, and that's what I was trying to say, is that we start as a child, we start our journey of faith as a child, but God doesn't want us to stay a child. He asked us to grow. In 1 Peter it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." There should be a desire to grow. And again, not to compare ourselves to one another, but to say, am I growing in Christ? Do I have more grace to trust him more than I did before? Because I want to not only accomplish more and have a reward to give back to the master, but I want to be an example to others. If the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And again, I was talking to during the work part yesterday, talking about how difficult sometimes it is to put things aside and say, I can't use that anymore. That's an old thing that I can't use anymore because I'm a new creature. I have trouble throwing things away is what I'm trying to say. You know, you never want to just throw something away. You want to find another use for it. And God tells us that the old things that we have in our life, just like the childish things, we have to put them away, and we have to use the things that God has given to us to do. The man that had got the 5 talents, the master said, I'm giving you a new responsibility. I'm sure that with that new responsibility, there were other good things in his life that he had to set aside and make a new priority to make sure the master got the return on his investment, because that became his top priority to do that for the master. Again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. As servants of Christ, there are going to be things in our life that have to take less and less priority because we want to make sure that we're serving God with our whole heart. Isaac Watts wrote a song, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? This was written a few hundred years ago, but sounds like he was saying the same thing that many said tonight, that this vile world is not going to get you closer to the grace of God. It's not going to put you in the right direction. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. He's the author of that song, and the authors that God used in the Bible remind us again and again that we're not going to make it in our own strength, that we're not going to do it haphazardly, and we're going to serve God because we decided to. So God asks us to grow. He asks us to be accountable. And again, not to so much to other people, because there'll always be somebody you can compare yourself to that you're doing better than they are, or at least you feel like you are if you don't get to know them that well. You can find somebody to judge and say, well, at least I don't have it as bad as that person does. At least I don't react as badly as they do. At least I don't, you know, have a meltdown the way they seem to every other week. But we can always find somebody else to compare ourselves to. And the more that we want to please God, the less we'll compare ourselves to other people. Again, God asked us not only to grow, he asked us to continue in our growth. In Hebrews it says, For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And again, God is saying, I want you to make progress because there's an investment that I'm making, and I want you to progress and return something that I'm giving you. The master's goods, and we are the servants of him. So God asks us to grow. God asks us to not stay the way that he found us, and he wants us to put these things away so we can honor him with our lives. And again, I bring up that comparison because here's what I struggle with. Every mistake I make, I always think about, well, I'm still younger than Pastor was when he started here at this church. So any mistake I make is pre- that age. But the closer I get to that age, I've stopped using that excuse more and more, because eventually I'm going to catch up to where he was, and then I'll be accountable. So the problem was I was comparing myself to begin with instead of asking God where he wanted me to be. I don't have any idea what God has entrusted to me as far as what he wants to use me for in my life. But it would be foolish for any of us to find another person and say, I will compare myself to that person, whether they be good or bad or a great influence in my case, or someone that you just want to find to make yourself feel better about yourself. But that comparison to other people. Adults, you know, mature adults don't act that way. Only childish people do that. And we have to put that away so we can serve God. We have to put away wrath and anger. We have to put away weariness. We get tired. Everybody gets tired. But Jesus says, get rest. Get rest, because if you're weary, you can't help other people. If you're always weary, you're not able to help other people. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think a lot of the weariness and restlessness that we have in life is because we haven't fully committed to serving Jesus. We have Jesus' yoke that we're trying to loosely hold on to, and we have other masters in our life that wear us out. You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No man can serve two masters. And we get heavy laden. And it's not because God designed it that way. It's because we've done that to ourselves. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. We sing the song, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Put away the anger and the weariness and put away the dishonesty. I was reminded again this week. And again, I always confess my faults to all of you during the message, but decide that the words that you speak apply throughout every area of your life. Thankfully, I did not, let's see, how would I say this? Thankfully, I didn't act on the thoughts that I had, but we all get in that place where we think, well, I'm not in church, so I can behave a different way. And I do a rest home ministry on Tuesdays up in Bay City, and Brother Joe Liberty's daughter just recently started working at that same rest home, and she came up to me and said hi, and it took me about 15 seconds or so to realize I know this person, but I don't know them from this place. You know how if you see somebody at the store or something, like you know that person, but not in the right parameters of how you know them. Chantel does this a lot at work because they'll see her, and they know her face, but she's not wearing the uniform and the name tag, so they don't know where they know her from. Sometimes our pride makes us act differently in different situations. And again, I never took an action, but I thought, you know, well, I don't have to behave the same way because nobody knows me here. Of course, I didn't do anything. I didn't, you know, it wasn't anything mean. It was just kind of like, you know, old people get on your nerves sometimes. But no, I'm just I was a little short-tempered. I don't know where I get it from, but I was a little short-tempered with a few people. And I turned around, and again, it was that feeling of, well, what if I had said what I was thinking of? What if I had treated this person differently because I thought I was outside of my usual realm? You know, nobody's going to know how my behavior is because I'm not around those people. And that idea of dishonesty, that my words don't carry as much value in another place. Well, they do because you're still a servant of God. Your behavior still carries that same value because your actions are not your own. You're carrying the master's goods. You're in charge of the master's goods, and he will return. He will expect a return when he comes back. And the actions that you take, and we're all guilty of this, saying, you know, this is the church category, and this is the rest of my life. It's a 7-day process that I will serve God with my whole life, and I won't live a separated or distinct life. I will honor him in all thy ways, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we have to put these things away because there are always other choices. A person that lives an organized life does so on purpose. It's because they have taken some things and said, this is important, this is a priority, I'm going to use this, I'm going to set this aside. I'm going to use this, I'm going to put it in its proper place, I'm going to set this aside. You know, spring cleaning, I'm going to take this and use it, and the master has entrusted this to me. He didn't give the other guy 2 talents. He didn't give the other guy, you know, he didn't give the other guy 1 talent. If I'm the 5-talent one, then the master has seen an ability that he wants to use, and he's given it to me to use it and to return, and return back to him. The spiritual gifts that God has given to each of us. Again, God decides who gets what, but he said you're all part of the same body, and he said you have to put off the old man. And if we can put it on and put it off, if we have to put off the old man and put on the new man, then we have a choice to make. We have a priority to set. It is up to us. And again, the scariest part of God's will is that he gives us a choice about it, that we have a choice of how much we surrender. We have a choice of how much we trust. That's frightening to me, that you know God made it dependent upon our ability to yield to him. He must have thought we were able to do it because he gave us his goods. He decided that we were his servants, and he expects us to not bury it in the ground, but to use it. Jesus is the head, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, first in the rank, first in dignity, first in honor, first in power. And again, we all slip out of that mold every now and then and say, well, would it really matter if I used these words in this situation? Would it really matter if I acted this way in this area of my life? Yes, it matters, because it's not yours, it's the Master's. And you're not your own, you're bought with a price. You're a servant of the Most High God. And that's how we become the servant that God desires for us to be. Remember, word of prayer. I am always challenged more by the testimonies, because I'm more able to listen and enjoy them. But if something's said in the testimony, if God has touched your heart in any way, make a decision. You know, say, God, this is what you've challenged me to do. I'm going to stop comparing myself to other people. I'm going to put aside the wrath and the anger and the doubt, and I'm going to trust you more, because life's not over yet. I'm still breathing air, and I still have something you want me to do. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've not only commanded us, but you've greatly desired, because of your love for us, that we would put away childish things, that we'd put on the new man. But every day we have that choice. Every situation we encounter, we have that choice of what we're going to do in that situation. You give us the free will, and you give us the ability to realize what you've given to us, how we should use it for you. Thank you for those in this church that are a constant reminder to me of a yielded life. Someone that has received something great, they know where it comes from, they know how to use it, they know how to make a return on the investment that you've put in their life. Thank you for loving us, giving us a home in heaven. Lord, if there's one here that's not sure of their eternal home, help us be the instrument that you use to give them the gospel, for them to know that they are a sinner, for them to know that there's a penalty on sin, that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid that penalty, and we have to accept the gift that God gave to us when he sent Jesus to be our Savior. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's struggling in their Christian walk, that they would not struggle and realize that their own righteousness isn't going to cut it, that they have to depend on you, they have to trust in you, and they have to take what you have given them and use it as you see fit, not as they see fit. Help us to never attain and never apprehend, so we're always running the race, trying to get to where you want us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.